This is Mark Strassman. We're talking to Jonathan Fielding, who's the Director of Public Health for the County of Los Angeles. Welcome to California Politics Today and Utopia Media Medical News Networks.
My pleasure.
What can you say that is most up to date about the situation with the flu vaccine here in LA County?
Well, we certainly have a shortage, and it is a major problem. On the other hand, it's not an emergency in the sense that we have had no flu in LA County. Usually, if this year follows with a pattern of the past, we would expect to see an uptick around the time of Thanksgiving, and it's been peaking in late December to early January. So while we're really trying to deal with this issue and figure out how do we get the highest risk immunized, it's important for people not to feel a sense of panic. Secondly, we are trying very hard to ask people as a matter of social responsibility and compassion step aside if they're at low risk and let those that are at high risk get the available vaccine.
Okay, now before we talk about the ethics and what's actually happening, who are the people who are at low risk who you're saying ought to step aside and let people at higher risk get the shots?
Anybody who's not in one of the high-risk groups. So it's the majority of the population. It's basically well people under age 65, with the exception of children 6 to 23 months.
Okay, and these are some of the people, of course, that in the past have been encouraged to get flu vaccine.
But they were never the priority targets for the influenza vaccine.
Okay, now go over again what the very highest priority categories are and sort of work your way down from there.
Sure. Well, the highest priorities are, first, everybody over 65.
Okay. Regardless of their health.
Regardless of their health, and most of the mortality has been found in those over 65. All children aged 6 to 23 months.
Okay. In other words, before 6 months, you shouldn't be getting that, right? Is that
right?
The idea? Okay.
Anybody between 2 and 64 years with an underlying chronic medical condition, a lung condition, a heart condition, a metabolic problem, a kidney problem, all women who will be pregnant during the influenza season, everybody in a nursing home or long-term care facilities, children 6 months to 18 years on chronic aspirin therapy, health workers who are doing direct patient care, and out-of-home caregivers and household contacts of children aged less than 6 months. Those are the highest risk group, and we really want to make sure that they get immunized.
People with compromised immune systems for one reason or another?
Absolutely. They're part of the group.
Okay. Now, California usually gets the flu later than the rest of the country, right?
Well, it really depends.
No.
I don't think we can.
That's not fair to say that. Okay.
Say.
Okay. What's the division between the public sector and the private sector in the provision of flu vaccine? Who has what responsibility? Who has the vaccine now?
Well, virtually all the vaccine is given out. I mean, as a percentage in the private sector, we in the public sector, we're hoping to give out through the health department about 130,000 to 160,000 doses, but that's on a base of what was hoped to be 3 to 3.5 million doses in Los Angeles County. So a very small percentage. Nonetheless, we're concerned because even internally we only have at this point 21,000 doses, and we're looking for ways to acquire more, either based on confirmed orders that haven't yet been delivered or by talking to others that may have an excess.
Is there much chance that the vaccines already created in Liverpool will be cleared, that the British authorities will change their mind?
I have no information on that.
Okay.
I think that would be on the upside, but I don't think we can plan for it at this point.
Okay. Now, does your agency or any other part of the county government have any authority to do any, I guess you'd call it hard rationing?
Well, we don't have the authority, but we have sent a letter to every doctor and to all these, to the pharmacies and to the supermarkets that are holding clinics, and asking them to limit those getting it to the high risk group, and to do triage to try and ensure that. And that's my hope that in fact will occur. And we've also suggested that physicians who got a full allocation could share some potentially with others that didn't get any because they ordered from Chiron.
Do you know if any of that has happened? We
do not have information. Remember, there are tens of thousands of physicians here, so it's pretty hard to track. But we did send a letter out, and we are working closely with everybody involved.
Have you received any anecdotal or statistical information addressing the issue of whether the well are standing out of the way for the less well? or not?
I hear anecdotes, but I don't think that really constitutes a significant data.
Right.
I've had a number of people tell me they're not going to get the shot this year they normally had expected to, and I've heard from some of the chains that they are going to either suspend what they're doing or focus it on the high risk. So I think that a lot of people are coming in line with the CDC recommendations of who deserves priority.
Places like Ralph's, for example, that people come in, pay $20, and get a shot. Is that a good approach, or do you like that?
Well, I think that I don't want to be specific,
right.
But I think in general, what I'd like to see is if somebody's at high risk, that if those to the degree that places like Ralph have vaccine, that they provide it and focus really on those at high risk.
And is it a black and white or a gray issue? Are the people giving the shots there, should they be saying, "I'm sorry, sir, you look healthy, step out of line," or how is that?
I'm not sure those people are able to, but I think at a minimum one should ask which of the high category criteria this individual fits in.
Right.
And if not, give them information suggesting it is really, you know, in the public's interest to step aside at that point and help save a life.
Do you think that the reality or the perception is such that a black market might develop one way or another in the vaccine?
That's very hard to speculate. Whenever things are in short supply, there seems to be some who would profit from it. But my hope is that compassion and a sense of public social responsibility will triumph.
Okay. Are there steps that individuals or the community as a whole could be taking in order to minimize the transmission of the flu, regardless of how many people are immunized?
Yes. Careful hand washing is always very important. Respiratory etiquette. If you're coughing or sneezing, make sure you cover your nose and mouth. And if you're getting sick with a respiratory problem and don't, of course, know if it's flu or parainfluenza virus or some other virus, the best thing to do is stay home. Don't share it at the office or at school.
In some countries, people, in Asia in particular, I think, people routinely wear face masks to avoid or to minimize the transmission of a virus. It happened in SARS. Do you recommend that? Is that something that could have a good effect?
We've not recommended it. I think it probably adds some value. I don't know how much, but certainly anything that reduces the release of aerosol and reduces droplets is on the right side of the column.
Okay, finally, would you say at this point that you're optimistic that this will be this problem will be dealt with before it reaches a crisis level?
Well, I think if we provide information and people think about it hard, it will not be viewed as a crisis. On the other hand, I understand the concern of many people, particularly those at high risk, on whether they're going to be able to find vaccine. And one of our roles is trying to make sure that, to the greatest degree possible, they're the ones for whom the vaccine will be used, but also to let everybody know that it's not the only approach and there are other medicines, even for those that are high risk if they don't get immunized, so that there are other ways to treat the potential flu.
Okay. What should people at high risk who are having problems because their doctor is out, their doctor doesn't have any, or for any other reason, is there something that you're doing to help coordinate the availability of vaccine for the high-risk people that they could avail themselves of?
Well, we don't. We're
counting
10 million people. And
right.
Trying to, I don't think we can act in that capacity. What we are trying to do is to strongly recommend that people informally share, the providers share, and secondly, we're suggesting people be resourceful in terms of sense of calling around and letting their friends know if they find a source, and really pushing when they call their own doctor, if they say you don't have any, please ask where, you know, do you know anybody who has it? Have you tried other places in the same building or other practices?
Do you know if your office or the County Medical Association or any other group is setting up a database that would allow people to say we've got the X number of doses that we need, Y, we've got this much, and so on, essentially
I'm
a stock exchange?
I'm not aware of a database. It's pretty hard to keep something like that up to date when you're talking about tens of thousands of
right.
of providers, and they all have to be willing to you know, sign on, and it hasn't been done before. So I think getting that done while desirable would be pretty tough from a logistical standpoint. But our hope is that the informal networks will do that to some degree, and to the degree that hospital network or some other physician organization has more because they had gotten their full amount ordered and they were planning to give it to both low-risk and high-risk individuals, that they'll share that after they've taken care of their high risk.
Finally, what does this say to you about the fragility of the system that now being that are now being used to produce the vaccine? And we're not under any kind of pandemic or really a powerful threat here, and still the system hasn't been good enough. What does that mean for the future, and what steps do you think ought to be taken to reduce this fragility?
We have a very fragile system, and whenever you have a limited number of providers where you don't have the ability to quickly ramp up production, you have this potential threat. I think it would be certainly helpful if there were more producers, and there may have to be financial incentives to do that. It may be that we're going to have to pay more for vaccine in order to get more players at the table, because this way we're pretty well stuck if one of the two major producers has a problem, any problem.
Might there be a better way to produce vaccine other than sterile chicken eggs?
Yes, and that's being looked at. I think we will come to into a better way. But even so, you need to make sure that there's the ability to have some surge capacity and ramp up production. The difficulty with flu vaccine compared to others is that we change its composition every year. So even if you had a formulation that was good for several years, it might or might not be able to deal with the current circulating viruses.
Okay. Is the budget and manpower of the county being tested here, or you're pretty much that's not a problem right now?
Well, we're certainly working very hard on this, and we're devoting a lot of resources to it to try and help in every way that that we can. So is it, does it put a strain on us? Sure, but I think that's what we're here for, to try and help protect the public health. So this is an opportunity for us to really try and make a difference.
Okay, well, thanks. You are, you're kind of the immune system of the community in a way. You're stressed, but you're responding.
Well, I appreciate that analogy.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right,
bye.